So much, Kristen. And also just thank you so much for all of your technical support and expertise in Zoom. It makes a huge difference. Thank you. Yeah, so welcome everyone. As Kristen said so well at the beginning, welcome to all of who you are. Welcome all. Welcome to all of who you are. Welcome to all of what you bring in here today. Welcome to what you're carrying. Welcome to anything you're ready to rest for a moment. Welcome to your dreams, your hopes, heartache, worry, joy. So we're going to be sharing this time together, which is really special. And in terms of the topic that I'm going to be talking about, let's really make sure that we begin by calling in love. And we can remember that love is brave and powerful and one of the most sustainable sources in the universe. And we can center it as our guide and our support. So we'll start with a stationary meditation. The great news is that awakening can happen all kinds of ways. And in terms of stationary meditation, that can be sitting, standing, lying down, or any other form of stationary practice that supports your body this evening. So you can, maybe it's been a long day, maybe there's been a lot that's gone on. So this is an opportunity also to arrive. So you can pick a stationary meditation position that feels comfortable to you. We'll practice for about a half an hour, and I'm going to be leading a loving kindness meditation. So, and if at any point, however I'm leading, if there's anything that's not resonating for you, just let it go. This is you can use your breath as an anchor potentially, or what other anchor works for you in stationary meditation tonight. You are welcome to have your camera on or off. So, when I begin stationary meditation, I like to think of when I see a bird land on a branch. They'll be busy, and then I see them land on a branch, and sometimes they'll kind of like foof up a bit and then settle down and get comfortable. So, you can either feel that like in movement with your body, or just even bring that into your imagination. You can take a deep breath, let it out. Just let that powerful oxygen in. And we're breathing in this loving gift from all of the plants around us. And as we breathe out, we're giving breath to plants. We can thank the land and the spirits of the land, the original people of the lands that we're on that are still here, stewards for thousands of years. Just extending gratitude out. Gratitude for all that supports us. Even if the only thing that feels accessible tonight is just that sense of gravity holding us all, know that gravity has us. The earth is holding us and loving us. We can bring in additional support around us if it feels accessible. Like I said, beginning with the earth that's holding us. So maybe you can bring in thoughts of someone you love. Something you love. Just feel that warmth of love coming in. Could even be a hummingbird that you've seen, a dog you know, cat. Could be Kuan Yin, the goddess of compassion, who has endless compassion and love for us all, calling in Kuan Yin, who takes any form needed when compassion is needed. So you're calling in that love, feeling a love and care for someone else, something else. Calling in love that surrounds you. Maybe some being that has looked at you with the eyes of love. Anything else in the world that helps you feel supported, just call that in. You can call in your ancestors. This can be blood and bone, and or queer ancestors. Trans ancestors. Chosen family. They want us to thrive. Now in our minds for the loving kindness practice, we're going to be saying phrases. These phrases are to ourselves at first, and then we're going to start to radiate them outwards. Sometimes it feels hard to direct this love to ourselves. And if that feels challenging, you can imagine sending this to yourself as a child. You can direct these phrases towards past or present you, or all of you. Be very gentle. May I know joy. May I be at ease. May I connect with the kindness within myself. May I be gentle to myself and to others. May I know joy. May I be at ease. May I connect with the kindness within myself. May I be gentle to myself and to others. Now, let's call in someone we know, someone we care about. It might be easy to have your mind go into any stories about whoever this is. And that's special, but for now, just bring them in into your mind, to your heart. And send them these phrases. May you know joy. May you be at ease. May you connect with the kindness within yourself. May you be gentle to yourself and to others. May you know joy. May you be at ease. May you connect with the kindness within yourself. May you be gentle to yourself and to others. We broaden our circle. We're going to call into our mind and our heart someone that we don't know. Maybe it was the person who helped me get to work today. Maybe it's the person who helps keep the Wi-Fi on. Someone you've seen but don't know. And we'll send them these praises. May you know joy. May you be at ease. May you connect with the kindness within yourself. May you be gentle to yourself. And to others. May you know joy. May you be at ease. May you connect with the kindness within yourself. May you be gentle to yourself and to others. We widen the circle again. We're holding all of these beings in our heart, love, care. Now we can call in someone that's challenging for us. I wouldn't pick the hardest, most challenging situation. Just someone where it's challenging. And we widen the circle to them too. May you know joy. May you be at ease. May you connect with the kindness within yourself. May you be gentle to yourself and to others. May you know joy. May you be at ease. May you connect with the kindness within yourself. May you be gentle to yourself and to others. Now we're just going to widen the circle as far as the circle could possibly be widened. Love to all beings. This includes us. This includes ourselves. Love to all beings. No matter how small, how large. The air, the sky, the land, the water. May you know joy. May you be at ease. May you connect with the kindness within yourself, all beings. May all beings be gentle to themselves and to others. You can keep sending out these phrases or just follow the rise and fall of your breath. Or whatever anchor feels right. And we'll do silent meditation for a few more minutes. For some reason, my bell is not coming through. So I'm gonna say ding, ding, ding. Oh, feel free to take a moment to stretch. I had to use my usual Zoom trick to create let the bell through. For some reason, it didn't work tonight. So please feel free to stretch, have a drink of water, gently come back to the room. So I'm so happy to see everyone here. Thank you so much for joining tonight. Just really wonderful to share that just wonderful stationary meditation time. So I really appreciate everyone being here. So I think a lot of the focus of tonight is on self-love and care and loving kindness. And I think sometimes with the way that self-care has been commodified, there can be a way that it can have a negative connotation potentially. But loving kindness and focusing on love is a very, very Buddhist concept and a very, very important one. I think it's one of the keys to uprooting greed and hate and delusion in all of its forms. I'll start with a quote from bell hooks. The book that bell hooks wrote, All About Love, New Visions, is a really powerful book. And I think it's full of really powerful dharma. So I'm going to read just one quote, which hardly does this powerful book justice. In her book, All About Love, New Visions, she said, when I talked with friends and acquaintances about self-love, I was surprised to see how many of us feel troubled by the notion, as though the very idea implies too much narcissism or selfishness. We need to stop fearfully equating it with self-centeredness and selfishness. One of the best guides of how to be self-loving is to give ourselves the love we are often dreaming about receiving from others. Self-love is the foundation of our loving practice. Without it, our other efforts to love may fail. Giving ourselves the love, we provide our inner being with the opportunity to have the unconditional love we may have always longed to receive from someone else. We can give ourselves unconditional love that is grounding for sustained acceptance and affirmation. When we give this precious gift to ourselves, we are able to reach out to others from a place of fulfillment and not from a place of lack. In an ideal world, we would all learn in childhood to love ourselves. We would grow being secure in our worth and value, spreading love wherever we went, letting our light shine. But if we did not learn self-love in our youth, there is still hope. The light of love is always in us, no matter how cold the flame. It is always present, waiting for the spark to ignite, waiting for the heart to awaken and call us back to the first memory of being the life force inside a dark place, waiting to be born, waiting to see the light. And in an ideal world, as queer and trans people, the whole alphabet army, gender nonconforming, intersex, all of the different letters, in an ideal world, we would all learn and we would all learn to love ourselves from childhood on as well. And we are living, breathing miracles, absolutely incredible in all that we are. We're stardust, we're spirit, all of these unique things that make us who we are in the world, there's only one you. And yet, meditation teachers that I've studied with have often told me that many of the people they are supporting can have a really hard time extending loving kindness and forgiveness to themselves. Like when we're doing loving kindness practice, like we did at the beginning. I know that I struggle with that sometimes. Like this morning, I was not coming from my best self when I was out in the world. And it's taken me a pretty good part of the day to get to a place of loving kindness to myself around that. But a long time ago, one of the teachers that I work with said to me, "Hey, you know how we say all beings all the time? That means us too." And I think it can be easy to sometimes leave ourselves out of all beings. The visionary Sonia Renee Taylor, who wrote the incredible book, The Body is Not an Apology, Sonia Renee Taylor talks about how we all get put on this ladder. So the systems of harm and domination that we're in that uphold capitalism and so they uphold capitalism through all of these structures of harm, how we get hoisted onto a ladder. So some of us end up high on the ladder, others of us at other positions. An example of where people end up on this ladder relate to white privilege, age, physical attractiveness, according to narrow and harmful definitions, levels of wealth, ableism. There's a huge list of the attributes that put some of us high up on the ladder and others of us in lower places. And there's consistent messaging about how important it is to be elsewhere on the ladder, to get higher, to climb over each other and police each other and uphold rules. So there are consistent messaging about how we need to look and act, behave, to belong. But also Sonia Renee Taylor talks about how this ladder is artificial, it's fake. We could all walk away from this ladder and it would fall. We embody different bodies, different cultural experiences and ancestries, different physical attributes and abilities and appearances, language. We're not all the same, and it's special and it's beautiful. And the latter makes it a comparison and a competition. I know for myself, it's given me a story that I'm not enough. It divides us, it separates us, and it lets power stay in power. There's a way that humans often act out what power needs to keep those systems perpetuating on others, out of fear to keep that spot on the ladder. There's also often authenticity that gets given up to be in a particular spot on the ladder. So we stay divided. And I see this right now in a lot of legislation going on, all of these attempts to keep each other in place on the ladder. And these systems that enforce this ladder, that are unkind to who we are and pressure us to be something else. And it can be really violent, depending on who you are. And this is really a manifestation of how greed and hate and delusion, these three poisons, can be the water that we're swimming in. But in the words of Sonia Renee Taylor, our body is not an apology. So even though we may navigate spaces that make us feel that way, and we should never have to be pressured to trade authenticity for community. So as a transgender person, right now I see people using my lived existence and the lived existence of other trans people as a way to have political power, to gain votes, to split and divide us all on untruth. with attempts at controlling and removing access to what has been life-saving. And they're ultimately coming from deep messaging around gender and who gets to be on the ladder and where and why. And I had to shut down so much of who I was for years and years in order to really stay alive because of all messaging that I'd gotten that people like me should not be given love, that there's only one place to be on the ladder or suffer consequences. And also, I'm white, so there are many other identities and intersectionalities facing so much harm in terms of these systems of harm and the kind of pressures exist. Trans people, queer people, intersex people, all of the people that fall under this big broad rainbow, we exist and we have always existed. We've always existed across time, across cultures. We're part of the human family. We're part of the earth and we're loved and we're held. We exist in this amazing, sacred gender galaxy of all humanity and all beings. Another one of my favorite writers is Alok Menon, who's a really incredible writer and visionary as well. And they receive constant negative response from others due to Alok's really beautiful personal gender expression. And Alok has pointed out something really important. And so this is something where if you don't remember anything else from this talk, I want you to remember this. Alok said, love is not limited. Love is an endless resource. There is enough love for all of us. We don't need to be in an artificial created situation where we feel we should be different, change, abandon parts of ourselves in order to be lovable. And it made me think of a friend of mine who said one time that love is not pie. Not love is not like pie. If you and you and you get some, there's still plenty left. There's always enough love. So what if we don't treat love like it's scarce? Like, what does that bring to our practice? What does that bring to our lives? What if we look at ourselves with love, just like one step at a time, and walk away from the ladder? This is a tough one for me. What if we gently forgive ourselves? What if we undo shame and engage in repair where we need to, but we stop abandoning parts of ourselves out in the cold? A practice that I've taken up is I try to wake up in the morning and just pause and send myself love. And wishes of ease and wellness and protection, and extending that outward, setting that intention. And this can be hard to do. Depending on messages we've received across our lives and in our daily lives, loving kindness practice is really incredibly powerful. I think when I first started these practices, I was a little confused about why I was doing loving kindness practice, even though I liked it. But it has a long history, and one of the things that I had read that loving kindness practice was encouraged for monastics walking through places that were scary or dangerous as a very grounding and loving practice when things are hard. And I like this practice too, in the various ways that it can be done, because it's bringing in words. It's bringing in an opportunity to connect with words. When sometimes it's not possible to touch that grounding another way. I had a friend recently who asked me, like, how do I talk to myself? Like, what are the kinds of words that I'm using when I am communicating with myself? And it really made me pause to think about how harsh that can be sometimes. And if you look at the loving, very, there are all different kinds of loving kindness phrases that can be used, and you can make your own. And they're so gentle and kind. And it's a wonderful way to bring those internally and extend them externally. And maybe for some of you here, you feel like super grounded and maybe even a I've got this kind of feeling. But I think it's also useful to check in about then towards others. So is there a time when you know that you were critiquing how someone else looked or something about the way they talked or what they wore? Or back to just kind of language, maybe ways that there was still critical tone to words you were sending to yourself. Or maybe even just where you didn't understand something about how someone else exists and there was a place of dislike. And a real tricky one, like a real shadow one, is where shame comes up. Shame is actually this... Shame is a very natural thing that humans experience, and it's really supposed to be something where if we do something and we realize it was harmful, we want to get back into community. But it's been very abused by systems of power to create senses of shame for things that are natural and human. Anything from just the mistakes we make as humans to being queer, being trans, all kinds of natural diversity that exists and that was able to be put into a shame kind of bucket. So, but yeah, shame is really just supposed to be there to help us get back into community. So checking in about where shame comes up is a pretty powerful practice, I think. And ultimately with these systems, they've created a message that shame is a story that we're bad. Rather than we've done something that we regret, if it really is in that category of having done something we regret. So when you're hitting those soft spots, maybe you're feeling bad about yourself or you're turning it towards someone else, this is the time to really crank up the loving kindness and compassion. You can even say, you can put your hand on your heart and just say to yourself, I'm sorry you're feeling this way. And another powerful practice is just asking yourself, what is my unmet need? I know this morning that my behavior was because of an unmet need. I was cold, I was hungry, I was having a really tough morning. There were some serious unmet needs there. Do I love how I was behaving? No, but there were unmet needs, and I can give myself compassion for what those unmet needs were. And sometimes these things are coming from really old wounded places, something created a long time ago. So you can be giving love to some younger version of yourself, giving them love and kindness, what they needed. What did they need? What did they really need right then? And also sometimes when dealing with complicated interactions with others, it's like if you ask that unmet need question, you can kind of, it comes up, you start to see ways that other person is hurting. And it doesn't mean ever that anybody should be allowed to do something harmful to you. But sometimes it can be freeing in terms of kind of the reactivity and pain that you go through in that interaction. So Alok said, these were notes that I took in a conversation, so they're imperfect. But Alok said at one point, I am realizing every day, how do I love harder? The more that I love the parts of me shrouded in shame, I don't have space in me for grudges because I love me. And I want to protect my leisure, my rest. I don't have room in me for toxicity. For me, that was like a moment of like, bam, in terms of the power of those words. So it isn't being selfish or self-centered to turn towards ourselves, to check in on all of this and send loving care to ourselves. And when we do that, we bring that love with us, especially when we dedicate ourselves to leaving no one else behind. And again, this never means allowing anyone acting in a harmful way to do so to towards ourselves, or not having boundaries. It ends up being so opposite. It's a really kind of amazing thing where we become our own primary partner in our love towards ourselves. So we look after ourselves. We are in touch with how we are each being a precious resource. And loving kindness practice helps a lot. But the reason why I started with, for those of you who were here right at the beginning, starting with resourcing, sometimes it may, even doing loving kindness practice and phrases, it might just be too hard. And so when beginning a stationary practice, or even some kind of movement-based practice, you can start to bring in resourcing. So being in touch with the earth supporting you, the earth loving you, just gravity itself. Or it could be bringing in how a loved one sees you. There's a meditation teacher who often said this joke, may I see myself in the eyes of my dog? So bringing that in, we become really powerful when we touch this love. It's a deep, deep well. And it's really, I think love gets short shrift, if that's the right phrase, in terms of often being treated as somehow weak, when it's actually one of the most powerful practices one can dedicate one's life to. And it's a powerful way to tell a new story in our own lives. And it's a powerful way to turn away from these harmful systems that can make us feel bad and alone and shrouded in shame, or somehow trying to remove parts of ourselves. So I'm a fan of everybody walking away from the ladder. So I'll stop there. I'm very happy to have a discussion. The wisdom in the room is incredibly powerful. Questions are welcome, and also just thoughts that you want to share on this topic or your practice are very, very welcome. No matter how small, how large, in the water, on the land, in the sky, in space, may all beings, and that includes ourselves, feel loved and supported, cared for, understood, respected, held through our hardest times. Celebrated in joy with us all together. May the merit of our practice tonight send all of that love and the loving kindness out to all beings. So, thank you.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.